And in the future, they're going to find a way to permanently fix this leak. So there you go. I mean, I've talked about this leak for quite a while. They finally found it, which is good because another crew is coming up in about a month. And once you have that many people on board, it's hard to, you know, put everybody in one side of the space, you know, spacecraft, in this case the space station. Much easier to do with three people, and eventually a month from now you're going to have seven people, because you're going to have four people come up on a SpaceX Dragon. And they'll be permanently staying on board, and you know, they generally go up for 6 months at a time now. Any questions or comments? Okay, and then talk about the crew. Chris Cassidy, astronaut Chris Cassidy, has returned. He's astronaut Ham, actually. He's KF-5KDR. He landed in Kazakhstan with his two Russian cosmonauts, Ivan Vangar and Anatoly Ivanshin. They both landed safely, down on one big parachute on their Soyuz vehicle, because their 6 month mission is over. And they were replaced with the other two Russians that went up, with Dr. Kate Rubin that I mentioned before. So that's good that they're back, and looking forward to a launch next month when they send the crew of four up, three NASA people, one guy from the Japanese aerospace group. Being supplied by we have deals with Japan, throughout the European Space Agency and all of that. Any comments?
KD2NVB with a comment, a space-related comment, but not this topic. If you're ready for that, I can wait till the very end of your day.
To the south, early on, 7-8 o'clock, it gets dark early. And if you look out to the south, a little southwest, you could see Jupiter quite clearly. If you look up, roughly around 30 degrees up, from the horizon at that time, and you can see Jupiter. And then if you look to the left, 10 degrees to the left, you see another, what looks like a star, much dimmer than Jupiter, and that's Saturn. So you got Jupiter and Saturn up there. And because Saturn is much further away, and their orbit is, a long time to go around the sun, where Jupiter only takes roughly 12 years. So Jupiter's always, moving relatively fast in relationship to Saturn. And when you look at, at the angle that it's crossing every day, it moves closer and closer. And I looked up and I found out when they're going to meet conjunction, and that would be next month, December 22nd, I think it was. But, at that point, they'll be within one-tenth of a degree apart. Give you an idea, one-tenth of a degree. If you look at the moon, it would be the space that the moon takes up, I think it's roughly half a degree. It's one-fifth of that, one-fifth of the diameter of the moon. That's how close they're going to be, right on top of one another. And which is pretty fascinating. And that won't happen again until 2080, so a long time from now. And it did happen back in 2000, but, you know, you really couldn't see it because it was too close to the sun at the time. Where, you know, it was, right now it's good because it's dark, but at the time, when it was happening, it was too close to the sun. So it's just, you know, pretty interesting. And what I found interesting, if you look, if you have any kind of star chart, I use star chart on my phone and tablet, you can see the planets, you know, Saturn and Jupiter. And right in the middle of the two, they show you Pluto is there. So, of course, you can't see Pluto. Not much out of, like, you know, the Hubble Space Telescope or some monstrous commercial telescope, on, you know, would help if you had that. But just the idea that Pluto is right in the middle of the two, it's pretty interesting. You can say to yourself, there's Pluto. And when New Horizon went out there and passed it, and it went within 7,000 miles of the planet of Pluto, I still call it a planet, by the way. I know they wrote that off a long time ago, but when New Horizon got that close, you know, and then it went beyond, and eventually went to another Kuiper Belt object. It's still going. They're looking for another Kuiper Belt object where they could use it again. But, you know, if you look at it, you realize that that's, you know, if you had eyes that could see Pluto, and then even beyond that, see the spacecraft itself, it's pretty fascinating. And one thing you could do, well, we can't do it, but if you had enough money, you could have a big enough antenna, like the Deep Space Network has, and point it in that direction. That's what they do. The Deep Space Network website, they show all the Deep Space Networks that they have. We have one here in California, Goldstone, California. There's another one in near Madrid, Spain, another one in Canberra, Australia. And they show you all the time where these, you know, which spacecraft they're communicating with, you know. And you can see, you know, they show you the antenna, and then they, you know, if it's active, they show you, you know, waves going back and forth, and they'll have a little, the letters will be written up, you know, like NH would be New Horizon. And that's what they're doing. They would be, you know, one of them, like, you know, would be pointing at that location in the sky to communicate with them, because they still do contact New Horizon. So that's the story with that. Any other comments or questions? Put in that.
KD2NVB, Bob.
Oh, okay, go. This is WS2N. His name here again is Paul.
Hi, Paul. Yeah, to hide in the net. This is just a different space-related topic that merges with my own profession. I'm a jazz musician and a big fan of Thelonious Monk, and also a saxophonist who played with Thelonious Monk named Charlie Rouse. And I was looking up Charlie Rouse today on Wikipedia, and it turns out, under honors, evidently an astronomer fan of Thelonious Monk and Charlie Rouse, because there's the asteroid 10426 Charlie Rouse was officially named in honor of Rouse by American astronomer Joe Montani of Space Watch, who discovered it in 1999. Also, earlier in 94, asteroid 11091 Thelonious, which is Thelonious Monk's first name, had also been discovered and named by Montani. So that's a little tidbit. And I also had another, maybe it's just Wikipedia's limitation. I looked up Space Watch, and they only number they have this whole chart of the asteroids. They only number them up to, like, 11000, which is a lower number than the one with Thelonious Monk. And I also had a question about, what are these numbers referred to? Are they positions in the sky? I'm going to throw a lot at you here. So, that's back to you. Back to you, Paul.
Familiar with the numbering system for the asteroids. I know there's like hundreds of thousands of asteroids, you know. it's amazing. You know, I remember when the Pioneer first was launched, I was the first one to actually go through the asteroid belt. They thought, oh my God, it's going to, I hope it doesn't hit one of these things. Then they realized, they figured out that to hit an asteroid, it's like impossible. And well, it's like hundreds of thousands of these things up there. So, that's pretty good that they were named after those two guys. And you say they're musicians. That sounds like classical type of music. Are you familiar with this is more on the rock side, a fellow named Brian May. Brian May, back to you.
I've heard the name Brian May. I honestly can't remember exactly who he is. And the two guys I mentioned were Thelonious Monk in the jazz world. They're both jazz musicians. And Thelonious Monk is one of the great kind of jazz originals. He wrote a lot of compositions, including a song called Round Midnight, which you might have heard of, and a whole bunch of other things. Something called Straight No Chaser. Anyway, he's famous. A very kind of eccentric style, all his own on piano. He came up the same era as like Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie in the 1940s and 50s, and he lived until he died in the early 80s. And Charlie Rouse was just a saxophonist who played, among other things, he played with Thelonious Monk probably more than any other saxophonist. He was in the group a long time. So this guy, this astronomer, Joe Montani, is evidently a Thelonious Monk aficionado as well. So these guys are jazz. Back to you, Paul.
Brian May is the guitarist for the rock band Queen.
Okay, heard a station, and the rock band Queen, correct, right. And the reason I bring him up is I was just talking about New Horizons. This guy, Brian May, when he was younger, he studied all this stuff. He became an astrophysicist and he got a doctorate and all. He helped out with the New Horizons mission. He was there when they, with the team of people from APL, from the Applied Physics Lab at John Hopkins, they were there when they did the flyby, went flying by at 30,000 miles an hour, and it took all these readings. It took over a year, I think 19 months, to send information back to Earth. But Brian May developed one of these 3D types of systems for working with the team for that mission. So, I mean, he was a musician, all right. For Queen, still is, still plays. But he loves this stuff, and he was part of the New Horizon team. So that's why I brought that up. Back to you.
This is KD2MBB. I'm not sure if back to you meant me or the other station who mentioned Brian May. Yeah, I'd forgotten who he was. I heard from you, I think, about him before, and I looked him up on Wikipedia. Quite an amazing fellow, because he went back and became some kind of an astronomer after he'd already been a rock star. back to you, Paul.
Okay. And do you know the singer Monheit? If I said the name Monheit, do you know that name? K
K2NVB. No, I do not know that name at all. Back to you.
Must be some near the tops of the charts of jazz, which I don't know much about, but she once schooled my daughter out here in Ronkonkoma. So, Jane Monheim.
I might have heard that name. I'm guilty of kind of like following the old dead guys more than the young becoming. I know some of them. But, yeah, I think I have heard that name. Do you know what instrument she plays?
She's the singer. She's made all these jazz records and all. I was surprised. One day, I'm sitting there watching Jeopardy. I tend to watch Jeopardy a lot. And one of the questions came up about jazz, and somebody came up with that answer. I was surprised. So it must be well known in the jazz group, I guess.
Could be. Do you know the spelling of her last name? I'll type it into Google.
Offhand, no, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure it's gonna. You put in jazz Jane Monheim, and you're gonna come up with something. I'm sure if it's close enough, it'll probably do it. I could do it, but I'm come to a grinding halt. I went through all my topics here that I was gonna cover for the net, and I'm gonna turn it back to Dr. Roy. Wow, look at the time. I went over, Roy. It's after quarter after. AC2GSWS2M for the space portion of the TechNet, the SpaceNet report.
AC2GS. Don't worry about it, Paul. Thankfully, Limark does not charge us for running over our time. And to Bob, her name is spelled Monheit. Her discography lists 11 albums.
K2MVB. Thanks, Roy. I'll look her up.
You're welcome. Well, once again, we've gotten to the end of yet another Technical Net. I want to thank everyone who participated, to the listeners, to Andy, WA2CDL, to Paul, of course, WS2N, and everyone else who contributed and had opinions and information and questions and answers. As always, I repeat what I usually end this with. If you have any questions for this TechNet, or if you have any puzzles, or if you have any topics you would like to hear discussed, or if you don't agree with something we said, especially with anything I said, if you got some good reference material, love to read it. The email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. The link page, which is full of all kinds of interesting links. There's a link to Wes's story about the supercapacitor bricks. There's a couple of links for Andy's tables and formulas. And there is a link to Paul's comment about the OSIRIS-REx. There's some very pretty pictures to take a look at. You can find that on my link page, which is roy.ac2gs.com. And again, I always want to thank Mike KC2NJI for his archive site, amateurradio.tv, where he keeps copies of the Technical Net that go as far back as September 2006. And please, if you have nothing better to do someday, check some of those archives. You have great guys. You had certainly Dick. You had Mel, K2KEY. You had John. Some very, very smart guys talking very, very smart things. So take a look at that. And as always, want to remind everyone that Dick used to end many of his technical nets with a very wise bit of advice, basically be kind to each other. And we're in tough times now. The virus looks like it's going to be real bumpy in the next few weeks. So don't hide under a rock. But don't make believe it's all going away or tell yourself you're tired of it, so you're just going to do whatever you want to do. Be wise, be smart, be safe. And I hope all of you are able to come back next Sunday night when we'll do it again at 8 p.m. So until then, this is AC2GS, and I'm clear. Be safe, guys.